From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. This week, Dr. Alan Cairns is preaching a message entitled The Power of the Spirit, part of this extensive series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Our text is Acts 1:8, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to His disciples, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. In considering the term power, Dr. Cairns has been explaining the twofold meaning of the word. It means authority to carry out God's work, but it also implies the ability to do that work, an ability that comes from the Holy Spirit alone. If churches and individual believers need to understand anything, it is that God's work cannot be done by human methods. The power of the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential, and this can be obtained only by waiting upon God in the Word and in prayer. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns takes a few minutes to answer the question, Will people still perish who never heard of Jesus Christ? The video version of this comment may be found under Q&A with Alan Cairns on our website, ltbsradio.com.
The question seems to agitate a lot of people. Will the people who have never heard of Christ still perish? You know, behind that question is a mindset. The mindset is that somehow or other, it would be unjust of God to punish sinners for their sin. Stop and think of it. God doesn't owe salvation to anybody. Sinners are sinners, whether they've heard of Christ or whether they haven't. And sinners outside of Christ deserve the punishment of God. That includes you, that includes me, everybody who's ever lived, born by natural generation of Adam. We all are sinners. We are coming short of the glory of God. Now, is there such a thing as salvation? Yes, there is. Where is it to be found? In Christ alone. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Peter said, we must be saved. But how must we be saved? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The gospel is, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That was spoken to a man who up until then was a heathen. Now that means that had he not believed in Christ, he would have been unsaved. He was unsaved up to that point. Can people then not just be sincere in the religion they have? Well, where does religious sincerity come in to saving the soul? The Bible does not allow for such a thing. The Word of God says even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. I think when people talk like this, A, they have no conception of the holiness of God. B, they have no conception of the sinfulness of sin. And if they had such a knowledge in the light of Scripture, they would realize this is why we have got to reach the heathen with the gospel, because apart from Christ, they have no hope. Well, what about people in the Old Testament? Were there not people then saved? They had never seen Jesus Christ, had never heard the name of Jesus Christ. Well, don't be so quick to jump to that conclusion. Jesus said of Abraham that he saw my day. He rejoiced to see it and was glad. Jesus said of Moses, and this is speaking of the writings of the Pentateuch, Moses wrote of me. You see, the whole core of Old Testament revelation is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, the promised Redeemer. Throughout the Old Testament, God's people believed in God's revelation concerning the divine Redeemer. We now know his name to be Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But the fact of the divine Redeemer, the identity of one Redeemer, set forth throughout the Old Testament from Genesis chapter 3 right on. And that's how they were saved. Nobody has ever been saved apart from a saving faith, a justifying faith, in that divine revelation that God gives concerning the Redeemer, whom we know to be Jesus Christ. No, people cannot be saved apart from Christ. And there's no religion in the world in which people can be rightly instructed and brought to a knowledge of the true God, never mind respond to him in faith, outside of biblical Christianity.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We have been delighted with the response to these programs. Your words of appreciation and your letters and emails have been most encouraging. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. And we're pleased to announce that the latest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is Darwinism. Two Free Presbyterian ministers deal with the fruit and the fallacies of Charles Darwin's theories. In that connection, there is a report on the wonders of God's handiwork displayed at the Creation Museum located near Cincinnati, Ohio. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on Dr. S.B. Cook. The missionary focus is upon what the Lord is doing in the nation of France. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org, or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, is it ever right to have an abortion? What is revival? And do all who die as infants go to heaven? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Of the Holy Spirit is the operation of the Holy Ghost to enable His servant so as to use that servant to accomplish God's purpose in exalting Christ. The fullness of the power of the Spirit then is the direct dynamic operation of the Holy Ghost upon a human servant, enabling him to accomplish these spiritual goals in the work of God. We have read today, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We have read again in Acts 4:31, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And verse 33, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. Now what does the word power then really mean? Well, even in English, it has basically a dual meaning, and certainly this is reflected in the New Testament. The word power can mean authority. Then the word means ability. Actually means strength. Power in the sense of ability. And you know, the two things are not necessarily synonymous. Now let's turn to the scriptures and see in Luke 4 and verse 36. Luke 4 and verse 36. Speaking of Christ, they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out of him. I want you to notice the conjunction of the two things. Christ, when he came full of the Holy Spirit, full of the power of the Spirit, he had authority. And then he had ability. You find the same thing in his apostles. We were reading in Acts 4. Well, in the 13th verse, you'll find the apostolic authority. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They had authority. My, they could even silence the learned chief priests because they spoke with authority.
But they spoke with more than authority. Because we find that verse 14, they had ability. Beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against them. There was the proof. They had the ability. Now, I don't want to labor this, but I think of the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 4. And at the end of that chapter, verse 18, he says, "Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." If there's one thing that I would love to take from the Word of God and have it emblazoned upon our church today and upon Christianity generally today, it is this statement of the Apostle Paul. If there's one thing that American Christendom needs to learn, it is this truth. We are living in a day when there's so much profession. There is so much speech. And Paul says, "I'm coming. And I'm not interested in what they are merely saying. I'm not interested in their profession. I'm looking for the reality of power. The kingdom of God is not just so much hot air." When we get into spiritual matters, we ought not to be dealing in fairy tales. We ought to be dealing in reality. The kingdom of God is in power. Men and women, there is a singular lack of the power of God today. Sometimes when I'm getting ready to come out before church, I switch on WMUU Sunday morning radio service. This morning they had Mr. Shelton preaching, Dr. Shelton preaching. And before, I didn't get to hear much of what he had to say, but a letter from a Baptist mission leader who a few weeks ago was in Romania. And he told the story, rather not a letter, he related a tape. Told the story of how earlier this year in the great blizzards that swept Europe, in snow that stopped all the traffic, amidst great persecution, with no heat in the home of the pastor, no heat in the hotel of the evangelist, no heat in the church, with something like 20 degrees of frost, that building was thronged with men and women. And the power of God was there, so much so that they took the very doors off the building, the pews out of it, to let them stand shoulder to shoulder with crowds standing in a blizzard of snow outside for 3.5 hours, while God, in reality, blessed the preaching of His Word. That's the power of God. That is power. We have all the theories. We have all the talk. We have learned the trite little phrases. We're like so many programmed computers, and we know exactly what answer to spit out. But Paul says, "I'm not looking for mere speech. I'm looking for power." The infilling of the Spirit of God. Let me take that one stage further. The essentiality of it. There's something that's absolutely essential about this. It always interests me that the Lord Jesus was with His disciples immediately before His ascension. He said, "You are going to be witnesses." And then He said, "But tarry till you be endued with power from on high. You know, there's a message for every preacher. There's a message for every missionary. Never imagine for a minute that having done a course at a Bible college fits you for the gospel ministry or fits you for the mission field. Never for one minute think that having learned so many facts is enough to make you a servant of Jesus Christ. For the Lord Jesus had these people in the best seminary, where the Son of God was the professor, where direct revelation was the course. And yet he says, as you go out to witness, tarry. Oh, we're always in so much of a hurry. Jesus says, tarry. My, what would he say today about the hype and the activity that have taken over from spirituality in all our churches? What would he say about preachers who say, I'm too busy to pray, I'm too busy to study, I get my sermon outlines out of books because I have to have a manual? And my, how this sickens my heart. I wonder what it does to the Lord. A manual for the busy pastor. I never heard such utter blasphemous claptrap in all my life. For the busy pastor. What's it saying? For the man who has vowed to be a man of God and he's so busy running hither and thither, doing this, doing that, doing the other thing, that he can't take time with God. Jesus says, tarry. Tarry! It takes time if you're ever going to be anything with God and for God. Not just for the preacher, but for every believer. There is a time alone with God. There is a time out of the public view. There is a time on your face in the secret place. There is a time when God grips your heart, when the Holy Ghost comes to deal with your soul, when the Word of God exercises its unspeakable power in your own being. There is a time alone with God, and that's absolutely essential. Tarry. Tarry. Until you're endued with power. Let not your authority be the authority of office. May I pity those poor little pastors who can only come to their people and say, I am your pastor, therefore respect me, do this, do that, do the other thing. God help such spiritual poverty. Never imagine your only boldness can be from your office. There is a dignity in any office God gives, particularly in a pastoral office. Never, however, make that your only boldness. Never let your boldness merely be the courage of the flesh. Let it be rather that which is communicated by the Spirit of God as he overwhelms the heart with the greatness of Jesus Christ and the power of his gospel. Tarry till you be endued with power from on high. We must have the power of the Spirit of God. Ephesians 6:12 gives you one reason. We're fighting against a powerful foe. Fighting against the devil. We're living in a day when there's a great upsurge of stupid talk about, especially coming out of Pentecostal backgrounds, though not limited to there, of people just clicking their fingers and they have the authority to cast the devil out. As I say, there's a big difference between authority and ability. I want to tell you, when these people, if they ever really do get to meet with the devil face to face, they're going to sing with a different tune. They're going to find then that all the empty little words in the world don't mean a thing.
and all the excitement and all the enthusiasm doesn't change a thing. I want to tell you, we're against a powerful foe, and against him we need the power of the Holy Ghost. The work that we're about is impossible without the Holy Ghost. You know, excitement can generate certain commitments and decisions. In times of great excitement, you can get people to put up their hands, walk up the aisle, say that they're going to become Christians and all the rest of it. And I want to tell you, if that's all there is, they'll go to hell. Because only the Holy Spirit can convict a man of a sin. Only the Holy Spirit can enlighten a man's mind in the knowledge of Christ. Only the Holy Spirit can renew a man's will. Only the Holy Spirit can give life to a dead soul. Only the Holy Spirit can save by applying Christ to the heart.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.